Welcome to Inspirational Journeys, a faith-based podcast where your story matters. Come on over, grab a seat on the front porch, and let's talk about the writing life.
Welcome to Inspirational Journeys, everyone. My name is Ann Harrison, and today my special guest is Dr. Donna Chacko. And first of all, I would like to say that if I'm sounding a bit echoey, right now I'm using my external because the headphones that I was using went out. So we're just going to do what we have to do, use what I've got and roll with the punches today. So welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anne.
So first of all, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Okay. Well, my name is Donna Chacko and I'm a retired physician. And after close to 40 years practicing medicine, raising a family, I retired and started a ministry called Serenity and Health. And I've enjoyed trying to encourage others towards health of body, mind, and spirit and sharing my life journey, what I've learned along the bumpy way.
Wow. Yeah. I haven't finished it yet, but I've been reading your book too. So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, the book, the original purpose of the book was to be a purely self-help book about health. It wasn't spiritual. It was a self-help book on healthy habits and stress reduction and things like that. And, but in the 6.5 years that I was writing the book, it had several different lives, so to speak. And it morphed into a sort of a hybrid self-help memoir book. And then the final version is it's best called a prescriptive memoir.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So, so tell me a little bit about your ministry.
Well, what I realized is, through my own life and when I worked in the inner city, I saw so much devastation of health just brought about by stress and difficult lives. And in my own life, I had a tough marriage, and I just learned that relationships, a lot of people suffer a lot in relationships and from stress. And so eventually I just realized that health is so much more broad than just not having a disease. You know, I trained in medicine a long time ago, and it was what they call a disease model. You find the disease, and then the doctor gives a treatment, and then you move on. And it's just not like that in the real world, and it wasn't like that in my life. So I wanted to, I was too young to do nothing, and I just felt this calling to help people feel better. And also to share what I learned about this more broad view of what health is and how it just to be fully healthy, to have abundant, wonderful health. You know, it requires that we have emotional health, that we have healthy habits, that we're not stressed out all the time. It kind of all goes together. And I increasingly learned, which is why my book kind of turned into a spiritual memoir in a way, I just increasingly learned how faith could be such a wonderful foundation for that journey.
And, you know, I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but what surprised me in the book is that you stayed in the marriage, even though you went through so much trial and disconnect or lack of communication. Words fail me right the second, but
yeah, anyway. Well, that's right. That's about what it was. A mess, wasn't it?
Yeah. A mess, total mess.
Well, you know, that's pretty much a huge part of my story that I learned a lot about myself. I learned that early in that marriage, growing up, I didn't learn to be honest with myself. You know, I was a nice girl and I I learned to be that confrontation was really uncomfortable. Stating my mind was really uncomfortable. So in the marriage and having been raised in the church, I went along with a lot. I contributed a lot of the problem too, because I also was just so ingrained in this work ethic that I had to work. And so I just sort of was on this automatic pilot. And I don't think I really admitted to myself how much dysfunction there was. I don't think I really understood, nor did I understand that my inability to communicate was part of the problem. You know, if something is not right and then you don't stand up for yourself and that thing continues, it causes a lot of suffering and it's terrible for the relationship. And you should multiply that by a lot and you can kind of get the idea what was going on. I mean, there was never any physical abuse in our relationship, but it took me many years later that I realized that there was emotional abuse. And I stayed in the marriage, not because, well, let me tell you why I stayed in the marriage. I seriously, I anguished over whether I should get a divorce for a number of years. As the kids were going through school, and by this time, some of them were in high school. We have three daughters. And I anguished about my girls, whether they were being hurt by this dysfunction. And, you know, anybody who's in a marriage, you know, it's not fun if you fight and have a discord and you have kids. You just know that it's not good for them, right? And I wanted to get a divorce, but then I didn't think I could, should. I also realized that didn't solve the whole problem, is that, you know, we would then be raising the kids together divorced. And I knew that wouldn't be so easy either. So I don't really know all the reasons why, but during this time I was kind of stuck in this position. Three things happened over a period of a year or so that were really distinct positive steps that my husband made, very major things. And like going to a very, it's called Retrovi, a marriage retreat for really troubled marriages. And anyway, with these three positive steps he made, I began to realize that maybe he was trying and that maybe that was God's way of saying I was supposed to stay married. It was a very hard decision, but I sort of bargained with God. I guess I said, "Oh, I surrender. I give. I'll stay married, but you have to be in charge of my girls." That was my whole thing. I was so worried about the children. So anyway, I stayed married. I surrendered my marriage and my kids to my God. And it was kind of shocking what happened next, because within a few years, my husband got leukemia and then he died. So the kids were teenagers, late teens, and I was 48 when that happened.
Wow. Yeah, I've got a teenage daughter myself, and unfortunately, I couldn't. I went through the emotional abuse and I couldn't stand that situation myself, and unfortunately she has to deal with it. I mean, she's well, let's just say things could be better for her, but you know, God has a reason why he puts us where he wants us when
yes,
he wants
he does.
Us.
He does. I mean, you know, it's so weird to look back and to know that both my husband and I really loved our kids and we're trying to do the right thing. And that's why this thing about emotional health and learning to be honest with yourself and learning how to communicate. You know, if I just go back to the very beginning of our relationship, we got married very quickly. I didn't want to get married that quickly. I kind of wanted to wait a little bit, but I had all these, I don't know, I was unable to say, honey, I really love you. I think I want to marry you, but I just want to wait a year. It was beyond me to say such a thing. And you know, that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But then when you learn, it's like they say hindsight's 20/20. But then when you learn what about yourself and about what you've been through. And if you ever go through that situation again, you learn to spot the red flags, which I did that too. But you become stronger. And I don't know if you felt this way, but when you're in a situation like that and you come out of it, it makes you stronger.
I guess I'm stronger, but I know that I understand myself better. And the writing of the book, when I switched it to memoir and I started learning about memoir and I started trying to understand my past and why I did what I did, that was very much a life-changing experience. I mean, I had these old diaries and I read my diaries and I was just shocked because my memories didn't match what my diary said. And this is all I'm trying to write a book. And I started seeing a psychotherapist, which was something I always thought, I don't need to see a psychotherapist. I'm okay. I don't want to stir up old trouble. And I really learned so much about myself. It was really, really, like, for example, the work thing. I have two brothers. We one thing we learned in our family, our parents loved us. We had great parents, but we didn't learn how to talk and ask questions. We learned how to work. And that was the number one, work hard, be honest. And, if that's your priority, it's very easy to be kind of blinded to all the stuff you sacrifice along the way. I didn't really understand that drive that was so in me. Anyways, now I still have that drive. I still work with it. I still have to recognize, I mean, I'm retired. I don't have to sit in my office many hours every day and churn out stuff. I can relax, but I still have to work at it a bit, these imprints are deeply ingrained.
Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about the writing process. I know you had to do the research and go back and look through your journals and stuff and do some other research because I see your notes in your book, different sources and things. But did you outline it or did you just write it, just sit down and start, as they say, writing by the seat of your pants?
Yeah. The latter. I just sort of started thinking I was writing this self-help book. So I just sort of tried to organize all the pieces of information about health of body, mind, and spirit, because that was my thing. They're all interrelated. So that's what I wanted to write about.
Right.
And so I did tremendous amount of literature and more scientific research for the first few years I was writing the book. My process is not one I would recommend to someone else, because that's why it took 6.5 years, right? It's wonderful if you have a better idea of what you're doing before you start, but maybe that's not how it works. Anyways, midway through, I started realizing that my story would make the book tremendously much more meaningful. I was reading another lady's book. It was a self-help book, but she put in a lot of personal story. And I could easily see that what kept me reading her book was not her wonderful science information. It was the story, her journey. And that's what made me, that reading that book is what made me start to switch gears. And then I started the deep dive into myself and finding my old diaries and talking to my brothers and seeing the psychotherapist and trying to figure out really what it was. How did this all happen? Specifically the business about the marriage.
Oh, okay. So do you have any tips or advice for somebody going through a situation? You talk about the mind, body, spirit healing. What types of work do you do with people that, in your ministry when you're helping people?
So, basically the idea is to sort of accompany people on their journey, starting where they're at. And so whether I'm giving a talk or meeting with a regular women's group I have, or occasionally doing workshops, topics have to deal with steps that each of us can take on our own to improve our health of body, mind, and spirit, to help us be closer to God and to feel better. So those are the goals, but to achieve that involves some much smaller, intentional, tiny steps. That's how, you know, the only way you can change is to make these small changes, and then eventually you'll feel healthier, you'll be calmer, you'll be more mindful, whatever. So, for example, with I think one of the key things that always comes up is that we don't take enough time for ourselves. We don't allow quiet time. I think the number one key is that for all of this, we have to devote at least 5 or 10 minutes a day to some quiet, call it what you want, prayer time, reflection, time in nature, something. Because part of our problem in today's world is we're just on the go, we're busy, we're on the screens, and our souls and our bodies and our minds need that quiet time. So that's really the number one thing. In terms of healthy habits, to change habits, you know, to start exercising or to eat more healthy, that requires you to have a state of mind where you can be calm and think about it. So, you know, the quiet time helps in all areas, but specifically with the body, if somebody's not getting any exercise at all, they're not going to be very healthy, and you just don't feel so well. So starting small and just adding, even if it's just 10 minutes of moving around in the house or going for a walk or something. And of course we talk about eating and emphasize healthy vegetables and fruits, 5-6 servings a day. It's just setting some specific goal that you can aim for and meet. And the other thing that interests me along the way and talk about, especially in women's groups, is this whole thing about emotional health. There's a book about you. It's the title is "You Can't Be Spiritually Healthy Unless You're Emotionally Healthy," and I just was really moved by that. And usually topics like that are things that we discuss in our lives, and has to do with, you know, relationships and honesty and boundaries and accepting responsibility for our behavior. You can't blame other people if you make a decision, and trying to move in healthier directions in that way. So all kinds of things like that. It involves reading, sharing, talking, making action plans that one can follow with small steps to start off. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. And it's a lot. And because I wanted to ask the question, but I wasn't quite sure exactly where to go with it, because, you know, like I said, it's unscripted. So I know where I wanted to go, but sometimes words fail me.
Right.
And anyway, but I was going to ask, okay, so what takeaways do you want the listeners and viewers to walk away with from our conversation?
Well, from the writing point of view, just to mention that I think I hope to write another book. I'm going to spend a lot more time in the beginning sorting out where I'm going with it. And we'll probably make an outline and a proposal before I start, especially that outline. And that's what I learned from my 6.5-year journey writing my first book. And it still may not end up, they always say writers, you know, you learn what you're trying to say when you write it. So I suppose it can still morph, but anyway. And then in terms of health, I think one of the main messages is that we fail to, all of us, is easy to not accept how much control and power we have over our health. Way more than I used to have in the clinic when my patients would come for 15 minutes. I mean, something like 75% of chronic disease in the U.S. can either be cured or lessened with healthy habits. It's just dramatic. 400,000 people die of tobacco-related causes. You can just go on and on with the list. And most of that is not anything the doctor can easily fix. We tinker at it with medicines and things, but without healthy habits, and stress reduction has got to be way on that list. It's really hard to get a handle on those chronic illnesses. I'm talking of things like high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, hardening of their arteries, all those things.
Yeah.
So that's really the number one message. And it takes intentional planning and steps. And for those who are believers, and usually I'm speaking to audiences like that, I think having your faith as a foundation for your life and your health journey is just tremendous, because if you trust God, you have less stress. I mean, think of it. It's the greatest stress buster in the world to trust God with our difficulties. And we're advised to treat our bodies like temples of the Holy Spirit. We need to be stewards of our bodies. So we have a lot of guides, you know, in the Christian faith about tending to the body. And in any community, faith community or other community, but here we're talking about faith community, you get support and encouragement and kind of a meaning and a direction in your life. And that adds great resilience, which contributes to health. So those really are my two messages, that you have more control than you think. Three messages: that quiet time has to be a part of it, and that if you're fortunate enough to have an act of faith, it's just a wonderful foundation for abundant and wonderful health. That's how I look at it anyway. And
wow. So I was going to ask you, what are you working on next as far as your writing?
Well, I'm going to write another book. I'll just say it involves my second husband. I was remarried 9 years after my first husband died. And there's quite a story there. But it's the funniest thing. And I have been so reluctant to even say out loud that I'm going to do that, much less start, because the other book is not yet a year old. But I think something really shifted this week, because I started clearing out my office, you know, and throwing away all the old notes and old copies and the original versions of page after page after page of old versions and stuff. And I thought, wow, maybe it's happening. Maybe my brain is getting ready.
Wow. So that's amazing, because God, like I said, God has a way of working with people. And you may say, I'm not, but God will.
Yeah, God does have an interesting way. I mean, I feel so blessed. I really do. You know, you mentioned your daughter, and I have three daughters. And yes, I have many regrets about many, many, many things, including my mothering, working. I know I did the very best I could. My daughters have had their ups and downs, and they're on their journey just like I was. And I've come to realize I must trust their journeys. I love them to bits and trust their journeys, and just hope that, you know, we all get through this. So writing the book was hard for them in a way, because we, you know, stirred up a lot of old difficult memories. So anyways, but in the process of writing the book, I've met so many wonderful people like you, and so many people, and learned so many things. I mean, I feel really blessed. What a wonderful way to be able to spend my retirement, because I think it helps people. I have had wonderful feedback sometimes from folks, and I know that it's helped me, so I'm grateful.
Wow. And like, and just to say, I was talking to some friends last night and we were talking about if we could go back and relive our lives, what would we change? I wouldn't change a whole lot except for, you know, the mistakes I've made. And I would have changed a lot of things concerning my daughter. And I won't go into too many details, not to, you know, not because I don't want to share, but because this is more about you than me, but there are just some things that I wish I had done differently. But, you know, you can't relive your life, and you can't let the regrets. Hold on. There, sorry about that. My phone just started yakking at me. But you can't do things over, so you just have to move forward.
Well, yes, and the most important thing is we must learn from all those things. That's the key, to take those regrets and turn them into a valuable lesson that might, dwelling on them and feeling guilty is so unhealthy, and it doesn't help. It wouldn't help your daughter, wouldn't help my daughters, and dwelling on my regrets, but growing and learning and trying to be better, now that might help, you know?
And I think sometimes you have to go through those rough patches in your life to learn, to really learn who you are.
Exactly. I was going to say, you wouldn't be you and I wouldn't be me if we hadn't gone through all this.
Exactly. God has a plan in all this.
Yeah.
So where can people find you online?
Oh, well, I would love if anybody would come to my website. It's serenityandhealth.com, A-N-D spelled out, so three words. And I have a blog, and I do interview series, which is fun. It's called my pop-up conversations. And all the information about my book is on my website, or you can get it on Amazon. The book is Pilgrimage, A Doctor's Healing Journey. And that's intended to be, and it is a very honest, an account of my story and everything I learned, but also very specific points to help readers find better health and closeness to God and on their own path with ideas and points that might be useful, I think.
Okay. So would you like to leave the listeners and viewers with a special Bible verse?
You know what Bible verse was on my mind today? It's so difficult. It's the verse that says, I must decrease so that he may increase. And this whole idea of just letting go, things don't matter. The things that we fuss about and worry about, a lot of times we have no control anyway. And certainly worrying and fussing isn't going to help. And just to allow more, especially in our challenging times, I mean, it's very difficult. There's a lot we could be fussing about, right? So just to try and let it go and let God fill us with his peace and trust his way, do the best we can. That's mm-hmm. where I was at today.
And I love that. So, and I do ask, and if you don't feel comfortable with this, just let me know, but especially when I talk to my Christian authors, would you like to close us out in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, it's just such an honor that we are here, Anne and I, to talk about our lives and our ups and downs and the gifts you have given us. And I just want to thank you for letting me be here with her. And I want to ask your grace for anybody who's listening to this, that maybe they might try something new, maybe that and feel better and find you and get closer to you. And that would be my prayer, Jesus, to help the viewers and listeners get closer to you and accept your grace. And again, thank you for all of our blessings. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we challenge you today to go out there and read to get inspired, write something inspiring, and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched thousands. Thanks for joining us on Inspirational Journeys. And remember, your story matters. Have a blessed day, everyone. Are you looking for a professional, knowledgeable, friendly, and detailed-oriented editor who provides high-quality editing services at reasonable prices? Why not give PlotStitch Editorial Services a try? As your friendly PlotStitch editor, I will help you turn your messy manuscript into a story that engages readers from start to finish. Services include refining story structure, character development, filling in plot holes, show versus tell, passive versus active voice, dialogue enhancements, copy editing, and proofreading. Send queries to theplotstitch@gmail.com. That's theplotstitch@gmail.com. PlotStitch Editorial Services, bringing stories that matter to life. Hey guys, this is Anne from the Inspirational Journeys podcast, and my special guest Joe Templin has an offer for my listeners and viewers. Take it away, Joe.
Anne, thank you. And again, thank you for bringing me on. This was a wonderful conversation. I'm glad that I could reach out and help your people grow. And to continue to help them to grow, we have an offer. If they go to the website everyday-excellence.com, and use the code Inspirational Journeys at checkout from the shop, they can get a 10% discount on anything there to be able to help them with their personal journey to grow and inspire others.
You heard it here, folks. You get a 10% discount on everything in the store at everyday-excellence.com using promo code Inspirational Journeys. Happy rating, writing, and celebrate the day.
Everybody, this is Anne from the Inspirational Journeys podcast, and I'm here today with
Teresa from Struggling Blessed But Not Alone podcast. How are you today, Anne?
I'm doing good. How about you, Teresa?
I'm good. So what's up?
I've got some news for you.
Really? What's that?
Did you know that our listeners can support our podcasts?
No. Can you please share more about that?
Okay, so while you're listening to our podcasts on your favorite podcast platform, hit the Support This Podcast button. With your contribution of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 a month, you're helping us achieve our goals.
Wait a minute, Anne. Are you telling me all that our listeners have to do is hit that support button and they could give a donation?
That's right.
Wow. Hey guys, thanks for wanting to do that for us. Have a blessed day.
So I challenge you today to go out there and read to get inspired, write something inspiring, and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched thousands. You've been listening to Inspirational Journeys, Stories That Matter, with your host, Anne Harrison. If you like what you've heard on today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends, and leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Visit my website at AnneWritesInspiration.com, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and follow me on Facebook and Pinterest at AnneWritesInspiration and on Twitter at AnneWrites75 for more inspirational content. Thanks for listening, and remember, your story matters.